We'd like to just read from two scriptures. The first one in John's Gospel, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1, and reading from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things received being through him, and without him not one thing received being which has received being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light appears in darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, his name John. He came for witness, that he might witness concerning the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but that he might witness concerning the light. The true light was that which, coming into the world, lightens every man. He was in the world, and the world had its being through him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right to be children of God, to those that believe on his name, who have been born not of blood, nor of flesh's will, nor of man's will, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we have contemplated his glory, a glory as of an only begotten with a Father, full of grace and truth. John bears witness of him, and has cried, saying, This was he of whom I said, He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given by Moses, grace and truth subsists through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And verse 29. On the morrow he sees Jesus coming to him and says, Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. In the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, reading from verse 13. For if the blood of goats and bulls and a heifer's ashes, sprinkling the defiled, sanctifies for the purity of the flesh, how much rather shall the blood of the Christ, who by the eternal Spirit offered himself spotless to God, purify your conscience from dead works to worship the living God? I just would like to speak, and I need much help on this, to speak about something, about the person of whom the Bible speaks, all it all points to. And to be very simple about things, the entire Bible points to a man called Jesus. He lived here about 2,000 years ago, and he was very different. So different that people sought to follow him. They wanted to hear his words. One of his followers said, To whom shall we go? Thou hast words of life. You have words of life. I just want to speak something about this man. And I digress slightly, because I'm just going to tell you something that happened this past week. But I was speaking to someone who was brought up a Christian, I think a Roman Catholic, and had a little chat with him about how things were, about things in this world. About a few little things came up. And I found out that he was a practicing Buddhist, and he felt the need for something, that he was missing something, that what people were seeking for in this world wasn't enough. There was something else needed. And I just talked with him a bit more, and I was a bit puzzled, because he'd been brought up a Christian, but he didn't appear to have any faith in Jesus. And it turned out, as I spoke to him more, that the reason he didn't believe in Jesus was he didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. He didn't believe that Jesus was perfect. He thought that Jesus was just another man. Now, I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus is not just another man. My faith would be nothing if Jesus was just another man. But thankfully, I don't have to rely on my faith. I have to rely on the Word of God before me. And God, in his immense Word before us, points out with incredible clarity that Jesus was not just another man. He was something different, something special. He was a man, but he was more than that. He was the Son of God. This is immensely important, because if you haven't received Jesus as the Son of God in your own life, haven't come to that, then you are still in your sins. And one day, you might think you will have to stand before God, But you won't be standing before God, because if you are in your sins, you will fall before God at his feet in desperation, because there will be nothing you can do at that point. If you come before an almighty, holy, righteous God, the creator of this entire universe. Some men, you speak to people in the street and sometimes you have a chat with them about life. And you find out that they think, well, maybe the good things that I've done will outweigh the bad. I'll stand up before God and I'll tell him, well, I'll point to all the good things that I've done. And hopefully that will outweigh all the bad things that I've done. It doesn't work. God is seeking perfection in your life, friend. Perfection in my life. And he won't find it. Because every single one of us has been tainted, affected by the awfulness of sin that came in at the beginning of the history of men in this world. History of mankind, if you like. We have the history of mankind in this book before me, the Bible. How it starts in the Garden of Eden. God in creation, making this world perfect. And yet sin came in so quickly. What really is sin? We don't really hear much about that. It just means disobedience. God set Adam and Eve in that garden. What a perfect garden. He planted it, arranged it. Some of us like our gardens and enjoy the fruit and the produce thereof and the amazing beauty that you can see in nature. God planted and arranged that garden. How beautiful it was. It provided everything for enjoyment. I digress, but the word paradise means garden. Garden. Anyway, that was God's paradise that Adam and Eve were placed into. Told they could eat of the fruit of any tree, except one tree. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they sinned. They disobeyed. They failed before God. One thing they were told not to do. One thing only. And that was the one thing they did. And thus they brought the effects of sin, the curse, upon this entire world. And it's still with us today. Technology, development, man's progress won't erase the curse of sin. It cannot. It's a moral problem before you and I and our God, the Almighty Creator God. So what are we going to do? Interestingly, at the time that happened, when God had to bring in judgment and cast Adam and Eve out of that garden, it does say at the very beginning, there's a hint of what is going to happen there in Genesis 3. Verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall crush thy head, and thou shalt crush his heel. That was a word to the serpent that brought in the questioning, the doubt in Adam and Eve's minds about the word of God. And in picture, that's the enemy, or Satan, or the devil, or the many other names by which he goes. There was a hint there that there was something coming in that would fix this problem of sin. And so we come down to here, John's Gospel, written 2,000 years ago by a man who had walked at a time and seen this person, Jesus. And he writes this gospel, this good news, at the end of his life as an old man, having witnessed the walk of this person, Jesus, and is absolutely sure that he isn't just another man, that he is the Son of God, because, and he can witness to all the things through his gospel that he saw this man do, heal everything. Anything, any problem that came of men that came before him, Jesus was able to heal. And then he was able to raise from the dead. He had power over death. But then John says that he was crucified, executed by men, sentenced to death. And the sentence was unjustly given. He was sentenced to death as the king of the Jews. They couldn't find anything wrong with him, and yet they killed him. But friends, this man, Jesus, my Saviour, in his death on that cross, he bore the judgment of God upon sin and sins. That hint that had been given in the Garden of Eden happened at the cross of Calvary. When my Saviour, in 3 hours of darkness, when God clothed this entire scene in darkness, Jesus was lifted up on that cross to die by men. And yet God clothed that scene in darkness, removed all light, people should not witness the suffering of his Son, his only begotten Son, because his Son was suffering for sin and sins, because God, the Father, was pouring out his righteous judgment on sin and sins upon the head of his own Son. Why did God do that, friend? Why did God do that? It's In the law, nowhere in the law that was given in the Old Testament in the history of men does it say that that had to happen. And the reason it happened is because of the love of God that is still reaching out from that moment until now into this world. Because God so loved this world, that is the people in it, he recognized that there had to be a sacrifice. Something or someone must die to save you or I. And it must be a perfect, perfect sacrifice. And it had to be a person. So he provided, God, the Almighty God, provided a sacrifice himself in the person of his only Son, Jesus Christ. Come in flesh, Son of God, who walked here perfectly for 33 and a half years, approximately. The subject of the four Gospels gives us a window into only 3.5 years or thereabouts of his walk publicly in this world, and tells us of the miracles he did, the grace and the love which he showed out from God towards each one of us. And it also requires, the word of God in front of me, requires that you come to Jesus too for salvation. It says there is no other way. If God sent his Son into this world and poured out his righteous judgment for sin and sins upon that person, the Lord Jesus, who else can you go to be saved from sin and sins? It is only Jesus you can go to. That's what's different about Jesus. Because he was perfect. It therefore says in Hebrews, and gives you a lot of the teaching of those things, but I'm just going to quote from these one or two verses. For if the blood of goats and bulls and a heifer's ashes sprinkling the defiled sanctifies for the purity of the flesh, how much rather shall the blood of the Christ, that's Jesus, who by the eternal Spirit offered himself spotless to God, purify your conscience from dead works to worship the living God? Jesus is perfect. He was so perfect that he could not remain in death. Death couldn't hold him. It had no power over him. It had no authority over him because he was perfect and wasn't deserving of death. And yet that was where man sent him. But God, it says, by the power of the eternal Spirit, raised him from the dead. And he is living. My Savior is living. Unlike any other man who remains in death, Jesus is living, the firstborn from the dead. If you get to that point in your soul, friend, that's an amazing thing, to realize that Jesus is living, was resurrected from the dead. But then the next question is, what does he mean to you? Jesus is living in heaven right now. He walked on this earth after he died. Many people saw him. Upwards of 5,000 souls or thereabouts saw him. Bear witness to his life. That was something the Apostle Paul said about him. Paul, whom affirms that Jesus is living, who was once dead, is living. The question is this man who is now living, is he your Savior? Because there is none other. If you come before God in that moment and say, well, I trusted in someone else because he told me he had a way of salvation, it's not going to work. Only Jesus, the Son of God, the only Son of God, is the only one to whom you can turn for salvation. I read a large passage in John's Gospel at the beginning, one of the purposes John had in writing was to really highlight that Jesus is the Son of God, is God himself in his person, but also became flesh, as it says here. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have contemplated his glory, a glory as of an only begotten of the Father. I'm not going to delve into all those things now. But what you need to know is that Jesus was God himself and came here in perfection. Because the sacrifice, the only sacrifice that was acceptable to God, was a perfect one. You read through the Old Testament, you find out all the different things, the ways that Israel were told to live and so on. All the sacrifices that prefigured the Lord Jesus all had to be perfect, an offering without blemish. The goats, the bulls, the heifers, the lambs, without blemish. They had to be perfect. So no one else can do it because I'm not perfect. I can't die for you and save you from your sins. Jesus can and did and is looking now to you to offer you life eternal. You read here, at the end of the passage I read, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. That's where Jesus is now, in heaven, the bosom of the Father. What a relationship. And he's declared God fully. No one's seen God. God is a spirit. But God sent his own Son, Jesus, here that we might see in him, God himself, walking here among us. That's the love of God. That was that same man, the perfect man whom God delighted in and loved so much that God poured out the wrath for sin and sins upon his head. But if you believe in Jesus, you believe in Jesus Christ lifted up on that cross to die, believe in him raised from the dead, believe in him where he is now at heaven, at the right hand of God. If you believe in him, in his name, it has power to save, his name alone, power to save from sins. And you have other writings of John in Revelation about the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all sin. I just want to share these thoughts with you about the difference. He wasn't just another man. The man Christ Jesus came with a purpose into this world, sent by his Father to save. His name means God the Savior. Jesus means God the Savior. That is the meaning of that name. He came with meaning and purpose and love, friend. Love for you and I. Love so much that he died for each one of us 2,000 years ago. Because God knew every single sin that was ever going to happen, has ever happened in history, and will ever happen. And if you believe in Jesus, all those things can be erased for you. You can stand before God. I said at the beginning that some people think that when they die, they'll go to heaven and they'll stand before God and try and argue that their good will outweigh the bad. Well, you won't stand before God unless you stand in the righteousness of another, and that person is the Lord Jesus. If you stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you will be standing and you'll be invited into that house, that home above heaven, because God will look on you as he looks on his own son now in perfection in his presence. What a salvation is offered you in the gospel. The person whom I spoke to, I feel so sad that he had no appreciation of the greatness of the Lord Jesus. To that person, he was just another man. My challenge to you in the gospel tonight, don't let Jesus just be another man to you tonight. Put your faith and trust in him. Realize the truth of what is said in this Bible before you and I. The word of God, Jesus is not just another man. He is the Son of God, the only Savior for sinners. His very name means Savior. May you come and put your faith and trust in him. He's my Savior. I have the hope of going to heaven, not because of anything I am. I don't deserve it. I'm a sinner. I'm far from God. But Jesus saved me. Have you had that same transaction, that same relationship? Come into the joy of knowing that your sins are forgiven, that you can even stand before an almighty God. There's many people in this Bible that have had the experience of having a vision of the glory of God. Ezekiel, Isaiah, John as well in Revelation, all had the experience of seeing the glory of God, and the reaction of every single one of them was to fall down on their faces because they couldn't stand. The glory of God made them realize what they were in their persons, sinful and unworthy and unrighteous and far from God. The light and the glory of God highlights that. But it says in John's Gospel about the light entering this world, and the glory was kind of hidden. It was revealed to Peter, James and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, just a little glimpse of it. And they fell down too at that point. It says that in the scriptures. But they also had a relationship with a person, the Son of God. Do you have that same relationship, friend? Are you able to stand in the presence of the glory of God because you can point to Jesus and say, he died for me. He bore my sins. He saved me. Jesus is not just another man. Make him your Savior tonight. Live in the glory, the joy of what God has done by his Son. May God bless the word.